You're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. We're so glad you've decided to join us. To discover more about LMC, visit us online at lifeministry.church. We pray that today's message encourages you in your faith journey.
Family to yours today, and we are just so excited to be able to be in church with everyone celebrating this joyful time together. I am just going to jump right in because I was saying to Andy, I'm feeling a little sad that we're coming to the end of the Christmas season, because it means that we won't have any more Christmas carols playing. And I have absolutely loved and enjoyed Christmas carols. I know it's not everyone's cup of tea, and some of you will be really excited that it is finishing because you've probably heard it on repeat in the shopping centre many, many times.
That's my life.
But
it was my life.
But it has been really lovely because they're so joyous, they're full of love and just happiness. There's a lot of those good, happy body movements that jump into it as well. So Christmas carols to me are just an outward expression of what's probably going on inside for me. But obviously there is a serious side to it. And I'm looking to the serious husband side of it. It is an opportunity to celebrate what Jesus has done for us, for the transformation that he is doing in our lives from when he decided to come down to earth and be with us. The Christmas lyrics, Christmas carols lyrics are always really just a beautiful expression of some of the things. And I know for me, my favourite has to be O Holy Night. I think like every time any of those lyrics, any part of that song is just a beautiful moment of worship. When you hear things like a soul feeling its worth, a thrill of hope, a weary world rejoicing, and I think just the imagery of the lines where it says, fall on your knees, oh, hear the angels' voices. I can't help but just feel that reverence in the moment. Do the kids have a favourite song? Shout it out to me if you have one. No. I was sure it was going to be a silent night, but that was mine growing up. Do you have a favourite one?
I don't really. Like Christmas carols, I know Christmas songs and Christmas carols. I have favourite arrangements. Like there's a version of a Christmas carol you like. You can hear 200 different O Holy Nights, but there's one that really sticks out to you. And I have those, but probably like a Christmas song. It's not really a Christmas carol, like Jingle Bells, anyone? I don't know, kids like Jingle Bells, Batman Smells, that one. That's kind of
Okay. You really are your child's father.
That's right. Exactly right. Exactly right. We're together on that, aren't we, mate? Jingle Bells, Batman Smells. But one of the most popular Christmas songs that we sing, we actually sung today, which is Joy to the World. And the truth about this song and about many other Christmas carols, to be honest, is they weren't actually written as Christmas songs. And this one was actually, Joy to the World, written as a hymn. And it was written as a song that wasn't even about Jesus' birth, but it was about his second coming. It wasn't about the first coming of Christ, about the second coming of Christ. But a lot of that same terminology is in the song, which is why we sing it at Christmas. It's still applicable in both ways that we sing it, but that's what it's actually about. And there's this line in this song, and we sung it today, and maybe you can help me out by finishing it. We sing, joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her king, let every heart. That's it. Well done, everyone. That sounded really nice. Prepare him room. Let every heart prepare him room. And today we want to look at that specific line in the song and that part of the song about every heart preparing him room and ask that question today. What does it look like for you sitting in your seat, Christmas Day 2024, and for me to let our every heart, let the hearts that we have actually prepare him room?
I think that was a really good question when we were going through this, and one of the things that sort of stood out to us is a really beautiful imagery in Revelation, and it's chapter 3, verse 20, and it says, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me.
Yeah, this is Jesus speaking, and this verse is actually a portion of a message that was given to a church, as we read in Revelation, to the church in Laodicea. And the people in this church actually is something intriguing about them, because they had kind of taken a step back. When it came to their faith in Christ or even their practice in Christianity, they'd kind of let Jesus take a back seat to this. I thought that it says it in here, that lukewarm, they were neither hot nor cold. And when it's like us having lukewarm water in our mouth, like, it's not nice. We don't want to swallow that. And it says that he'll spit them out of his mouth. And what Jesus is saying here, as we read this about the knocking on the door, is, hey, I am standing and I'm knocking on the door of your heart, and I'm on the outside, and I understand that you've maybe forgotten what it is to be a follower of mine and what that means, that you've left me outside, you've left me behind. And this promise, as we read it, so often if we hear about it in church, or maybe you've heard this scripture spoken about before, we think, well, that must be for somebody who doesn't know who Jesus is. And he's not a part of my home, and he's standing on the outside and knocking, waiting to come in, or waiting or with that invitation to open the door to us. And it is for that person, but it's also for everyone else today who perhaps has already made that decision to make Jesus or to become a follower of Jesus Christ. It is for us who have perhaps let Christianity be a forgotten pastime for us. And I know that the reality is that sometimes people can go through seasons or times in their life where, man, I was a passionate follower of Christ, maybe 10, 20, 30, maybe 50 years ago. Man, I loved God. But today, over time, I just don't know, I don't know whether that's a part of my life anymore. And that's a reality that some people face. But this verse is an invitation for those people today. Right now, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Whoever opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. And that invitation is for all of us today.
And I think when we were going through this, what came to my mind is all of the nativities that we've seen over the last couple of years. The videos have really burnt into my memory. And in the Christmas story, we have a picture of someone who's standing at the door and knocking. Kids, can you help me out? Do you remember this scene in the Christmas story? Who stands at a door and knocks? I heard it. Joseph. Joseph is standing at a door and knocking. Whose door is he knocking on? He's knocking on the innkeeper's door and he's saying, "Do you have room for me? This is me and my pregnant wife," and Jesus in her belly saying, "Knock, knock, knock. Do you have room for me?" Do they have any room?
Yeah, isn't it interesting? Like, we see that same picture in the Christmas story as we see in Jesus asking that as well. And what's interesting about this story, that though we see the dramatized version of the knocking on the innkeeper's door, and we hear that and we see that, we have no room, there is no room. Actually, the Bible doesn't give us that full picture, but what it does give us is the knowledge that when they got to Bethlehem, there was no room. Whether they tried to lodge with a family friend or someone else, or whether they went to an inn, there was no room, which is why we see and why we know the picture of them in the stable and Jesus actually being born and laid in that feeding trough in that manger.
Yeah, and it made us wonder how could it have actually looked different back then? So say they actually knew that Mary, in Mary's tummy, it was Jesus in her tummy. So when they went and knocked on the door, if I was the house person who owned the house or the innkeeper, what would my response have been? How different would it have looked? And I probably would have at least gone to my neighbour's house and see if they had room there. But the other thing I probably could have done is kicked out some of the guests that I had in the room. But if we're talking about the King of Kings, I'd be giving over my room. I'd be saying, "All yours, take it. Here's all my food. Here's everything that you need." If it's the King of Kings, you do whatever you could, right?
Yeah, totally, totally. I'd be on the couch, wouldn't I? I'd be in the stable.
You'd be in the stable.
I'd be outside. I'd be on the front doorstep. Exactly.
Not the doghouse.
No, not the doghouse. No, never, never, never. That's right. So as we flip forward to today and we understand who Jesus is today, we have the benefit of that knowledge. We are not sitting with a question of who arrives on our doorstep, knock, knock, do you have any room? But we actually know who Jesus is.
Yeah, we saw what he came and did. He lived a sinless life. He healed people. He cast out demons. We know what he did. He came to save us from our sin and forgive us and give us eternal life. So, you know, the question that we were asking is, when you have that knocking on your own personal heart from Jesus, and we know him to the depth that we do now because of what the Bible says, how are we, each of us, going to create room for him?
How are we going to respond? And that's the question we really want to ask of everyone today. Knowing who Jesus is and hearing the songs, and what a blessed time we live in through Christmas as Christians, that we get to, you know, unashamedly declare Jesus' name in the world today. But knowing who Jesus is today, the question we ask is, as he knocks on the door of our heart, how are we going to respond? How are you and I going to respond? And it's a great question to ask, not just broadly and not just theoretically, but even today on our Christmas day, how are we going to respond to Jesus? And you've got, no doubt, like we do, festivities on after this, and we've had a busy morning with presents and all the other things that Christmas comes with. And I want to ask you a direct question today as we ask that question of ourselves. How are we preparing room for Jesus in our day today? How are we setting examples to the people around us by the way that we worship him and put him first in our day today? How are we leading people that we are around towards a gratitude that we have for all that Jesus has done for us? And I don't know about you, but in a week's time, 2025 is here. In a week, 2025. And this question applies. How am I making more room in my life for Jesus when it comes to my 2025? And that's a great consideration for every single one of us.
Because I think, like you said, when we were talking about it, it gets filled up so quickly. And it has to be an active choice around how we're actually making room for him.
Totally. If you have the image of Jesus knocking at the door, what's beautiful about this is that Jesus does this as an invitation. It doesn't say, "Behold, I stand at the door and bash on the door." Behold, I stand at the door and knock. This is an invitation to each one of us. This isn't Jesus forcing his way into our lives. And the reason he does that is because he wants to lead us to a greater level of intimacy in our relationship with him. This is what it's about. And it's from that firm foundation of intimacy that Jesus doesn't want to just come into our lives and our hearts to hang out. This isn't, "Let me come in and sit on the couch and let's watch the basketball or whatever it is that you'd like to watch. Let's watch the cricket on Boxing Day," right? This isn't what Jesus is asking to do as we open the door to our lives, to him. This is about him coming in and actually transformation happens, transforming our lives from the inside out. This isn't like a change on the outside because I'm eating differently or working out or anything like that. This is a change on the inside to my desires, to my attitudes, to actually my heart, that now they are going to be in line and led by him as he guides me and as I live obedient to his word.
And another one of the scriptures that stood out to us as we sort of close it up today, I want to read to you a promise that Jesus gives us as we invite him into our lives. And it's actually the reverse. He does what we are saying that we should do. And it's in John 14, verse 1 to 3, and it says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am." And it's an incredible promise, isn't it? That he prepared by coming to us. He prepared by covering for our sin, and he is preparing the way for us into heaven. And, you know, it's the invitation from Jesus to be Lord of our lives. And it, like Andy was saying, this might be for the first time for you, or you might be needing to hand over that driver's seat back to Jesus after a little time of sitting in it. Whatever it is, that he is preparing a place for each of us in his Father's home in heaven. Mm. And there is just so much beautiful hope and joy in that.
Totally. Does anyone, like, it excites me when I think about that, that as I have opened my door to him in my life, that he is now opening the door for us to our home in heaven. What a beautiful peace that gives us at Christmas as we celebrate who Jesus is and what he has done for us and the outworking of that in our own lives. And this points to God's ultimate desire for humanity, is permanent relationship. It's eternal relationship with him. And that is only made possible to each one of us by the accepting of Jesus Christ into our lives as our Lord and as our Savior. into our hearts, not just into the world that he came, but actually for us and into our lives. And the way we do that is similar to any other relationship that we want to improve or get closer to here on earth, is through time, through the investment of time. As we walk with him, as we talk with him, as we be led by him, the more that we are doing that, the more we are preparing room for him in our lives. It is the best thing that you can actually ever do. And so on this Christmas day, as we go about this and in a week's time into 2025, let's continue to prepare room in our hearts for Jesus to move, that he would continue to transform us from the inside out. Amen? Amen? Amen. Let's pray. And I want to pray for anybody today who, you know, as we prepare a Christmas message, you know, it's easy for us to talk about things like the gifts, and it's easy for us to relate it to all of the things that we experience at Christmas time. And I know that this is a cliche statement, but the gift of God through Jesus Christ is eternal life with him. The gift of God is Jesus to us. And what greater gift for you, if you haven't made a decision to make Jesus Lord of your life, is him to you today. And so I want to pray for anybody and have a conversation with you after the service. You know, we've all got a busy Christmas day, but let it not be so busy that we are not prepared to stop when this invitation of him comes and knocking on the door of our hearts to say yes to him. And so I want to pray for you today. And if there's anyone else that perhaps, like we said, Jesus has taken a bit of a back seat in your life, or maybe he is a pastime, that he is knocking on the door again for that level of intimacy that he desires with us. And it's not, I don't want you to feel like this is a hostile takeover. Jesus coming into your life is not a hostile takeover to our lives. This is making him Lord because we trust, as God is our designer, as God is our creator, he knows what's best for our lives. And this is the trust aspect to that. We trust in him by saying, Jesus, you can be Lord of my life. I will do what you want me to do. Your will be done and not my own. So let's just bow our heads and close our eyes. And in your own heart, whatever Jesus is challenging you on in that invitation and that knock, 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 how are we going to respond to him today and in our lives? Father God, we are so thankful for, again, like Matt said, the opportunity we have to come to church as a church family, as a body of believers, and give you glory today. Jesus, we are so thankful for your obedience to the Father, as we sung about today, that you came, that you lived a sinless life, that you went to the cross in obedience to the Father, that you died, that you were buried, and that you raised back to life. That the forgiveness of our sins, all of our past mistakes and everything we've done wrong has been washed clean as we put our faith and our trust in you, and as we declare with our mouths and we believe in our hearts that Jesus is Lord. And Father, I pray for anybody who you are knocking on the door of their hearts and their lives today, that they would know that their response is not a response into the unknown, but it is a response by putting their lives into the safe hands of yours, our creator and our designer, who knows us and who loves us. And so, Father, in response, we simply want to continue to lay down our lives before you and ask you to have your way in us. So, Jesus, we worship you, we glorify you this day. We ask your blessing upon this Christmas day as we put you first, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this week's message. If you'd like to hear more inspiring messages from Life Ministry Church, or you'd like to know more about us, including service times, events, or what following Jesus is all about, be sure to visit us online at lifeministry.church. Thanks again for listening.